Well, good morning. Todd was eloquently mentioning there, I started out at Penn State and actually started out as a film major in college. And my wife always asks me, she always says, you know, I know you've seen this movie, or you remember that movie, or do you like this movie? And I usually say, I have never seen that movie before in my life. I have no idea what you're talking about. And she goes, weren't you a film major? And I said, well, that's why I sell toilet paper today. And that didn't come to fruition, I guess. So one film that she forced me to watch, although I do like it now, was Lord of the Rings. Probably some of you are like, forced? Are you crazy? Lord of the Rings. Now, she's a big person on fantasy and superheroes and stuff like that, and I really never knew much of anything about that stuff, you know, growing up. I was a music guy. So I sat through all three of those movies in the movie theater. And then at home, the extended versions. And if you know the extended versions of Lord of the Rings, you start them on Christmas break, usually, when you got a couple of days off, and you finish them at St. Paddy's Day, because they're like 14 hours long. I mean, they're extremely long, of course, you know that. But if you know Lord of the Rings, you got all of these people. And some of them actually aren't people. I mean, they're elves, there's dwarves, halflings, hobbits, you know, a great diversity and multitude of these people and things out there. And, you know, there's a lot of great women in Lord of the Rings as well, too, and warriors and leaders like Arwen and Eowyn, I believe are their names. But the story focuses on what? What's the story focus on? It's the fellowship, right? The trials and the tribulations of the fellowship of the ring. This is a group of presumably male, I think they're males, they're dwarves and halflings and men as well too. Now the fellowship is a part of this multitude that I was talking about. They're part of the multitude. They come from, you know, the men and the elves and the dwarves and so on and so forth, but they're also set apart from this group. So they're a part of the multitude, but also set apart. And what are they set apart for? A mission, right? They're set apart for a mission. They're commissioned for this journey to do what? Destroy the ring, right? Destroy evil and bring peace, shalom, flourishing to Middle Earth. Now, if you know the movie, there's great success. There's great failure. There's big ups and downs. There's suspense. There's Queen Spider. There's all of these things. But what binds these men and these dwarfs and hobbits and so on and so forth together, again, is this mission. These are guys that are set apart. They're single-minded in their mission. They faithfully carry it out. They accomplish their mission not just for themselves, but they accomplish it on behalf of the people, on behalf of the multitude, the elves, the hobbits and the dwarves, and so on and so forth. So men, today, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 3:1-7. 1 Timothy 3:1-7. Our focus today, is on men of character, as Todd said. Men of character. And we'll read here what the Apostle Paul has to say to his disciple Timothy. And I will read for us. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of an overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone doesn't know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Now, if you know 1 Timothy, or really any of the Timothy letters from Paul, they were written toward the end of Paul's ministry. You know, Paul was a persecutor, of course, of Christians in the earlier church. So he was knocked off his high horse by Jesus. He was converted. And then what happened? He really suffered. He learned about Jesus for a couple of years. And then he was preaching the gospel, he was persecuted, he led churches, and then Christians were multiplying, you know, like rabbits out there in the early church, back when Paul was on his travels. But now, his ministry is coming to a close. And he had to do something, which we know what this is. It's called succession planning, right? Succession planning. Paul was doing some succession planning here with Timothy. Now, the God of Paul, the God of the Bible, and the God that we talk about here at Friday Morning Men's Fellowship, he is a God of many good things, right? Many good things. He's a God of love, of mercy, of justice. But he's also a God of order. He's also a God of order. So where do we see this? You know, one of the first things that God did, not one of the first things, the first thing that God did, Genesis 1, in the Old Testament, was he created order out of chaos. God created order out of chaos. From Genesis 1, it says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, void, darkness over the face of the deep." Chaos, darkness. "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said," what? "Let there be light, and there was light." So it begins there, men. God created order out of chaos. It was creative and orderly. Interesting how those two things work together here. Creative and orderly. Now, men, we are, what, 16, 17 months into this pandemic now? How much order and peace have you experienced in the last 16 to 17 months here? I mean, think about how, yes, thumbs down. I see that out in the audience. You know, I mean, it's been crazy, right? I mean, just think about it. We were meeting at that Mexican restaurant, you know, on the border for, geez, 10, I don't know how many years, a ton of years out there. Now we're here. And then we're online, you know? And I mean, just think about the experts on TV. You know, one person says this, another person says this, a you know, self-described expert maybe on Instagram says something completely different. You know, I mean, it's chaotic out there, and there's just a lack of order. We feel blown to and fro, right? Now, Paul and the apostles, they thankfully didn't have social media back then. I mean, geez, can you imagine that? I mean, there's a reason why God didn't invent that until 2,000 years later, right? They didn't have social media, but I bet you can imagine with me here that there was a lot of chaos out there in the early church. Confusion when the early church started. Many different views, many different practices. Probably some of you have heard of some of these things. You know, beliefs that were preached in the square or in the home or whispered in upper rooms. You know, some of these things likely were good things, but a lot of them were probably bad. They were probably not in line with the gospel that was preached and taught by faithful teachers at the time, like Paul. These teachings were likely threatening the peace and the purity of the new mission that Jesus kicked off about 30 years or so before. So Paul, in his letter, and in many of his letters, he calls us to what? He implores us to the mission again. He reminds us of the mission of Jesus. And here in 1 Timothy, Paul gives us a godly structure for leadership of this mission. Leadership of this mission, to lead the mission and bring peace in a world that is filled with disorder. So a good companion for a little help here is Titus 1, good companion to 1 Timothy. This is where we see Paul again talking to another guy, Titus. He's telling him about the same things and asking him of the same things. He says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into what? Order. To put what remained into order and appoint elders or overseers in every town that I directed you." So Paul is saying here that there should be men like Timothy, Titus, and likely many others who should be set apart. They're part of these groups of people, but they should be set apart for this gospel mission. Their lives should be ordered properly, as it says here in the text. Ordered properly. First, as it says earlier in 1 Timothy, and maybe you talked about this earlier in one of the previous talks, is first that they should know that they are broken, sinful people in need of Jesus. There's a vertical alignment there with Jesus, the power source, filled with the Spirit. And then from there, and from His grace and His righteousness, they are to do what? It's more of an personal than outward component here. I propose three things. They're to do three things after this vertical alignment. Is that they are to live a public life worthy of the mission. Number one. They are to live a private life worthy of the mission. Number two. Number three, they are to multiply and teach the mission. Excuse me, number three. Multiply and teach the mission. So let's get into this. And this is all related to the scripture that we just read. If you start pulling out some pieces there on what we read, you can see there's a public aspect to how you live your life. They are to do what? They are to yield to the Spirit. They are to be self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, not violent, not quarrelsome or greedy. Sounds like a lot of the fruits of the Spirit, right? So they must be, therefore, Spirit-filled. They must be well thought of by outsiders, meeting people outside the church. Translation, they're not jerks. They're not jerks. They're not jerks in church, and they're not jerks in Publix or, you know, on 400, you know, when someone cuts them off, you know. Not jerks. That's number one. Number two, they live a private life that is worthy of the mission. They live a private life worthy of the mission. When I say private life, I mean what they look like on Sunday is the same as they look like Wednesday night. They look like Friday at 10:30 p.m. Being a man of good character means that you have integrity. C.S. Lewis once said, he goes, "Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is looking." This is your private life, men. So privately, be faithful to your wives, if you got one. You care for your homes well when no one's looking. Your kids honor and respect you. That one stings a little bit there. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I... That one applies to me sometimes. Again, men, Jesus' mission requires that we not be jerks in our home life as well, too, and no one's looking. That's integrity. And the third thing, of course, I mentioned is that we're able to teach the mission. Teach and multiply the mission. We have here in today's text that the power and the reason behind this good character that Paul is talking about here, talking to Titus about, is able to be taught to others. This power. It's able to be taught to others. That the good news would be taught rightly to others. And likely, and listen to this, from attested faith. He mentions not being a new convert. That these folks actually have attested faith. That there's been some suffering. There's been some application to their lives. And now they're able to share these stories and these experiences with others from a proper teaching. And speaking of teaching, one teacher here, Paul, if you know his conversion story, he didn't start teaching when he got right knocked off that horse by Jesus. It took a while. I mentioned that before. He suffered. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, I believe Jesus said. He said, this man, you know, he's going to learn how much he's going to have to suffer for my gospel. So he lived a bit out there. You know that. So let's take a look at our own lives here. Let's take a look at our own lives. We got three questions. Another three here. Is there a fellowship of men overseeing you who are living in accordance with Paul's teaching? Are there a fellowship of men overseeing you who's living in accordance with Paul's talking about? Number two, excuse me, are you a part of a fellowship of men overseeing others? Maybe it's here at Friday Morning Men's Fellowship, hence the name. And are you living in accordance with the teaching of Paul here in 1 Timothy? And number three, maybe you're a young man who is desiring to oversee and faithfully pursuing a life that is in accordance with Paul's teaching. Maybe not, maybe. Maybe you have that desire to do that. So those three things, let's ask those questions. These questions, when hearing them and thinking about them and pondering them and taking inventory of our own character, should convict us, men. Should convict us because we're all broken. We all miss the mark in these ways, right? Why is this important? It's because character is important. Character's important. You know, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. The mission of Christ is someone that would be Christ-like, that have the character of Jesus, that his mind would be renewed in the truth and wisdom of Jesus and the love of Jesus. You may have heard this saying before, that character trumps competency. Anyone that has a daughter in this room, would you rather have your daughter date a man of high competency and low character, or high character and low competency? Now, all of us would say we want high character and high competency, right? We want both. But come on, it would be high character, low competency. You want to be around people of high character more than anything else. And that's something that's in us from God, that there's something good that we desire in one another and ourselves around having good character. But if you ask yourself maybe this question this morning, and I know I ask myself, my answer would be sorta. Yeah, sorta. I sort of meet these, I sort of don't. And again, we're all broken. Of course, we'd probably answer that way. But the challenge for us today, men, is that the Bible doesn't really handle sorta really good. It doesn't really handle sorta or being lukewarm. In the book of Revelation, you may remember the church of, I think it's pronounced Laodicea, or Laodicea. It's described as a lukewarm church. One commentator says that it has a lukewarm heart attitude. A lukewarm heart attitude. That hot water purifies and cold water refreshes, but lukewarm water really doesn't have much of a value. Now, I know I'm stretching a bit here because we're talking about, you know, overall churches and our own personal character, but, you know, there's an overlap. There's an overlap between these things. I want us to see that if we're lukewarm on pursuing good character, we're going to cause downstream effects. Think of this as water. If we're lukewarm water, we're going to cause problems downstream. Downstream. The men we disciple, the people we care for, are going to be lukewarm as well too. They're going to be lukewarm. And then we'll multiply this lukewarmness, and then we'll find ourselves with churches and fellowships of just lukewarm people. Is that what we really want? I don't think that's what Jesus is wanting. He says later in Revelation here in 3:16, because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I will spit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. So I say amen to us here today in Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. A fellowship, we're not elves or halflings, we're men. And actually, I think the men in Lord of the Rings had the biggest problems, honestly. Maybe you are an official overseer. Maybe you are desiring to be one. Maybe you're being led, or you're desiring or actually leading others. Remember the mission. Remember the mission. Remember Paul's teaching on the character of men on this mission. Remember Paul's teaching on the mission. We are men who are to be what? Ordered correctly. Ordered correctly, vertically and horizontally, that the peace in our hearts, we would bring that to our home and to our fellowships, to our churches, to our families, to our workplaces, that we would bring godly order to those who are downstream, that are downstream of us. We don't want to be spit out of Jesus' mouth, of course. So Jesus knows, of course, we're going to fail. We're going to fail at this. And we talked about this, that we're broken people. He knows we're going to be lukewarm at times. But receive His love and forgiveness. Receive His love and forgiveness. In the same Revelation scripture, He says this, verse 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. So we have an invitation here, men, to repent. He gives us an opportunity to reflect, to be convicted by these words and these questions we've been asking this morning, and repent, to confess our lukewarmness, our character flaws, the times we exasperate our kids, the times we sneak a peek at porn, we drink too much, and we're greedy, we love money too much, all the things that Paul's talking about here, we've all done it, men. But accept Jesus' love and forgiveness. He knows all about this already, and He says, it's okay. Now go and sin no more. Be on my mission. I'm going to give you water. Water to drink, my grace, my mercy. I'm going to equip you to pour that out downstream. Downstream. So men, let's be convicted by this, but also encouraged. Let us be encouraged today. We're on a mission, so remember the mission, remember the calling, and let's together live a life that is worthy of it. Let us pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I come to you this morning, Lord, as a broken man, a man that answers the question of Paul's calling and teaching here as sorta. And Father God, you sent Jesus because we're all a bunch of sortas, or absolutely nots. And you love us in spite of that, and you call us to something greater. You call us to your mission. And that we would bring this living water, Lord, downstream to the people in our communities, in our churches, in our workplaces, wherever we might go, whoever is in front of us. So, Lord, I pray, equip us today, fill us, encourage hearts, as it says in Scripture, as long as the day is called today, this Friday. We pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. Yeah, thank you.